Blog Talk Radio.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Spiritual Insight with your host, Mr. Darren Bouquer. Today we'll be talking about working with magical objects, the wand, the athame, a candle, a bell, a staff, a sword, an amulet, there are many, a talisman of some sort, and I see Darren is in the queue. And I'm going to go ahead and bring him on. Welcome, Darren Bouquer. Can you hear me, Darren? Welcome, Darren. We'll keep his line open and see what happens. But anyway, while we're waiting, I will remind you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my phone decided to look up movies or something. I don't know. It's an elaborate phone now. how was your Sunday, Marvel?
Very productive.
Beautiful. Did you create any magically charged objects today?
What I did do was...
You did do okay.
No, I didn't create any magically charged objects. However, what I did do was I met with a couple backup musicians and had lunch with them, because as I've been saying, we've been gotten the ball rolling about recording the album again, and we've come really close to finishing. It's actually our Samhain song, a little late, but better late than never. Mm-hmm. And we had some amazing progress on that, and then I went and did some other retracking on it of my own harmony vocals in the background. And so there's a couple girls joining us. We also have a new female lead singer, our accompanying singer. I don't want to call her a backup singer because we're actually going to be sharing a lot of the singing duty. And her name is Nikki Nicole, good stage name, I guess. And looking forward to working with her. She's really quite good. And I'm going to post some stuff about her on the Dragon's Head, that's our band's name, Facebook page, as well as just on Facebook in general and other places. So Nikki Nicole has joined us. She's practicing the songs. I've heard her. She's great. She's actually a natural soprano, but she can sing a little lower than that when she needs to. And the combining with my really deep voice with her higher voice, I think, will make for a good combination. And I'm really looking forward to we're having our first official practice with her this week. We've met and all of that, and we've heard each other and talked and met, and she's been practicing the songs at home, and she's very good. Her work ethic is great. I send her a couple of things, and she sends me a recording back of her singing over top of it. I'm just like, yeah, she's got the right charm, the right personality, the right blending in with the rest of the band, so I think she's going to stick around for a while.
Well, it's always good to hop on the Dragon's Head. You know, instead of the tail or the wing, because that would be that. Well, it's flying.
That's right.
No, I love the name, and it sounds like you guys just keep developmentally expanding in a positive direction. So that's wonderful.
Yeah, we had a pause in the action, just like what happens sometimes. Just our schedules were all colliding for a while. But now we're back full swing. We're getting together more than once a week now to get things done. and being in the studio, you know, a couple of times a week and practicing once a week. So there was a break. What basically happened and why this was going slow is we recorded the album, then the band got better, and we're like, we're better now, and what we have is a slightly inferior version of ourselves on the recording because we just got better and tighter. And so we're like, we basically re-recorded almost the whole thing. So that's what kind of slowed it down, basically. But it was honestly, at the end of the day, it was necessary. It's a much better product. You know, it's a much better
to make
album.
It, yeah, I mean, that's you know, there's a little blood, sweat, and tears. There's a reason there is a band named that is because it's what you need to put in there to make it happen. Speaking of which, blood, sweat, and tears can be also incorporated in creating...
magical object.
A magical object. And you mentioned bell, you know, candles, books, all that Jiminess. By the way, one of my favorite goth bands. But so you can, you know, a bell being a sacred instrument, an anathema, any of those objects, or, you know, some people decide to use a wand in magical practice. Let me take it out of the scope of, you know, now we're getting into very, you know, specific kind of ritual magic. Let's say this. Anything ceremonial can have magical impacted energy to it, resonate with powerful energy. Anything that's highly, highly connected to a person with intense emotions and that funnels those emotions almost through that object can retain a lot of that powerful vibrancy. So mystical objects can be almost anything as long as it has a sense of the sacred and has it had that intimate contact with somebody that has given it that sense of sacred. Like someone's lucky gym sock that they wear at every game.
Athletes have lots of superstitions. You know, baseball players are guys that sleep with their glove, you know.
Right, the lucky whatever it is. Let's say it's a lucky, batting glove or whatever they have, you know. And this thing has sucked up a lot of this intense energy from this person that needs to focus and localize their energy and hit a ball going 90 miles per hour. And, yeah, you better believe that batting glove is going to have some energy to it. It's going to have something, some resonance of really poignant, clarified energy. And the ceremony. Now let's take it into consideration. This too, a ceremonial magician who charges a wand and uses it once a year. How charged is that wand after maybe 3 years? Probably not that charged. It's not.
Right.
It's not going to retain the sense of the sacred if it's never used or visited or impacted with or even someone looking at it and thinking, wow, that's my sacred wand that I charged.
Now.
It's not even seen.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's not even seen. And that's where I have to say, people have these cabinets of curiosities and all this stuff. And it's like, yeah, but you're putting this stuff away and you're not seeing it. You're like forgetting it's there. And then when it comes out, it may retain an intense energy, but it may not because, maybe you bought it. Some apothecary or something like that, and then you took it home and you shined it up or you cleared it in the sunshine and then you put it away and you never see it unless at rare occasion you want to show it to somebody. So that my friend is not charging an object. So,
and yeah, and that's what I mean, because to me it's about the building. Now here's where the exception to this could be. Let's talk about our ceremonial magician just for a second, our character you mentioned. Now, if he puts it away, but then only uses it in a ceremony 3 times a year, but maybe every other day or so, or every day, or however often, actually takes it out, does a meditation with it, and charges it, well, maybe that changes the game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if he uses it for anything. I don't care if he uses it to draw symbols in the sand or anything. Gives it a sense of the sacred. You don't have
a bonding
to
with
it. Bonding with it, right? You know, and then when I say a sense of the sacred, I mean a sense of the sacred. If you're using it to, like, you know, I draw something in the sand is one thing, but if you're using it to, like, poke at your dog or, you know, like, do something really infantile, then no, it's not going to have a magical energy to it. But if you're saying, I pick up this wand, it's my magical sense of, you know, it is my magical implement, that this is what I'm doing with it, and I'm going to draw, you know, runic sigils on the side of the building here, and then I'm going to imbue the side of the building with this energy, and that, then I have to tell you, you're already naming that wand as a sacred object. And every time you see it, you will reconnect with it as a sacred object.
Mm-hmm. And I believe in that, and perhaps that's a part of the discussion we can talk about, is the treating of sacred objects. For example, my tarot cards, or at least almost all of them, except for ones that were recently gifted to me that I haven't given a place yet, just because of time. But they all get like a little sacred box. They usually get a cloth that accompanies the box. But they are out where you can see them, and they get opened and used, you know. I don't mean a sacred box like they're up on a sacred place that I never open and see them. I mean they just have a little home, including even the Horizon Oracle, which Kevin sent me and gifted me. It has its own box. There's usually an essential oil maybe that I lace the box with, put a stone in there that I think relates to the deck. And in that one's case, it was an amethyst, because I know Kevin was big on amethyst, and for some reason it just seemed to fit, so I just use an amethyst in there. A lapidum, I think, for another one, my Rider-Waite deck, and then, you know, whatever. I have a few of them now, and they all get, like, a little box and a cloth. So I think it's good to treat your tools with respect, and you work with them, and you know, spend the time to cleanse them and bless them and do all that kind of thing.
No, it definitely is.
I'm just saying that's just something that I like to do. It's my way.
Some people, as long as I think, personally, and by my experience, as long as you have a sense of divine about the object, you can do whatever you want with it. As long as, for you, it still has a sense of the divine.
Right.
So the cane that I've used for my Allegra altar, for years, I still did all kind of fights. Sometimes I would take it to work and utilize it and do wacky stuff with it because it's for Allegra. And Allegra is wacky, a little bit trickster, a little bit fun, road opener, you know, wacky. So I can bring it around, do funky stuff with it, and it's still okay because that's part of his energy or whatever. And I feel like it's okay, and I'm getting that feeling, and so I think it's okay.
Right.
Now,
yeah.
If you hit, you know, for my crucifix, rosary handed down from the family, you know, am I wearing it to the water park? Maybe not. You know,
right.
I don't know. It might not be a good plan. I'm not sure unless I'm doing baptisms, and that's another story. So, but
right.
Yeah, it's the. I guess I'm trying to make a point of saying, if as long as you feel like you're doing justice to the sacred object, I don't think it loses that sense of sacred as long as you feel like it's happening. I'm very weird about anyone putting anything synthetic on any of my altars, which is difficult because I have altars everywhere. So
right.
If it's plastic, I try to not have any plastic on my altar.
Because some people say plastic is associated.
You're going to say it's avoidable sometimes because things have integrated plastic into them. It's just,
right.
It's very hard to do.
And plastic, isn't plastic, its planetary connection, I think, is with, is it Neptune? I forget which one it is. But it's also illusion and fakeness. So you don't want to bring, like, illusion, deception, energy to your altar. You know, I don't think that's exactly what you want. But that's a point for. That's why some people don't like the plastic pendulums either. Some people don't think aluminum or plastic should be used in magical workings. Period.
Yeah, people. What? Repeat that, please.
Aluminum or plastic should not be used in magical workings. Many people believe that.
No, it's. I rare occasion have had to use a stand-up table, which I then put wood or you know, granite or marble on top of the table and then do the working with that. However, there's still plastic under that, which
right.
is not, it can't draw down into the planet through the plastic without going through the plastic. So there's that. However, is that a game changer? Is that like me, like it's not going to work? No, I wouldn't say that. But I would rather not use it.
It's more of just like maybe it could be a minor obstacle, but if you're a good enough magician, you can maybe get over those obstacles because
right.
you're still looking at a piece of wood or metal or whatever there, and you could be like, okay, I can work with this, even though there's might maybe some plastic involved.
Yeah, I do want to say, like, people with their, you know, with their plastic rosary, if you're trying to use that to shut down some sort of negative force, I'm telling you that very easily that plastic rosary can become the symbol of your faith bigger than in almost anything. However, it is plastic, okay? So if you're trying to summon your energy and send it out through up your arm and out through your hand and into the object and make that a very powerful symbol of who you are, I would maybe not do that. Just utilize the fact that you have the symbol in your hand and send that symbol out forth before you without sending it into the actual matter of the object because it's synthetic matter. And that's, I'm maybe sounding a little, I don't know. Am I sounding a little like
traditional?
Right. And a traditionalist too. I mean, I'm just telling you right now, every bone in my body says that do not waste a lot of magical energy on plastic objects. It's just a bad idea.
Right.
So. Because they just don't.
Have you heard of also
though.
Made and dyed crystals? Some people have been discussing that as controversial. Like crystals that
there's
are created.
There's still crystals, but they're still hard crystals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I take a block of wood and paint it and they put nails in it and stuff, it's still a block of wood, still.
Okay.
So it's a little processed, but wood plastic is just processed stuff from, like, Jump Street. Right? It's totally, like, human-manufactured situation. Now, this would be up for the... Do we have any callers? Because I'm not near my laptop right now.
Oh, yeah, we actually do.
Okay, maybe let's... I would like to hear what somebody else thinks about this.
Okay.
I guess
one of them,
we're steering the conversation is towards plastics and are they okay in magic? Yes or no? How do you feel about it? Or in any sort of spiritual working, if you're utilizing the actual object as a sacred object.
Okay.
So we'll see if anyone can weigh in on that.
One-on-one, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hello?
Hello, are you there? Okay, I'll turn your mic off. Perhaps they called just to listen and not to be, but sometimes they press the
That does happen on occasion.
Yeah. There's another caller here. I'm not sure if they want to be in the host queue, but... I'll just ask them if they want to. If not, we can respectfully turn the mic off again. 469, are you there?
Yes, just listening for the vibrations right now, if that's okay.
That's perfectly fine.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Go for it.
Thank you for going. I know sometimes people call with the intention of being in the host queue and don't press the 1, and then they'll be later, they're like, hey, I called for a reading or whatever, and you guys didn't answer.
Oh, right.
Making
yeah,
sure everything was okay. Okay. Thank you, and thank you for calling Spiritual Insight on the Mystery Universe Radio Network, which is, by the way, expanding with many hosts, including our two new hosts, Darren. This Thursday are going to start Miss Jim and Ashley Cash, two of the backup musicians that were on my CD recently. And they talk about a lot of New Age concepts, and they do the like the Tibetan bowl healing things. They're very big into
big into sound. Really
the crystal bowls.
It's only a very transformative situation I do this. I mean, one of the more advanced, and we're talking about mystical objects, but this is right in that realm. A friend of mine, we were both about freshmen in high school, and this was bad, I probably should, you know, but he had somebody's, I don't know where he got somebody's credit card or something, I don't know, but he was like, okay, let's, so we cut school and we went to the Smith School shop, and this was in Cleveland. And we went there, and later I ended up doing presentations there and all this stuff. But the one of the owner of the shop, very big, powerful hoodoo guy, who's since passed away. But he walked up to us and used the singing bowl to transfix us completely. And then asked us to do a couple odd things and say a couple odd things. And literally, I wasn't hypnotized, but my friend was like, just, I mean, I kind of was, but it was like he used the singing bowl to do it. And the power of these objects, it's just what it can do to your chakras, depending on which chakra you're utilizing. Later, this person came in to, after Hurricane Katrina, was doing some work as an upscale bartender, and they walked into the space, and then I said, I'm like, do you work at that store? Because I remember years ago, and I've since then shopped there so much or whatever. And he said, he's like, I'm the owner, but I don't want anyone to ever know that. And I said, oh, okay. And he's like, you know, and so then he related to me, he's like, you know the different Orishas. So he's like, tell me which one's on my head. So here I am bartending, right? So I'm still trying to do, like, make, like, X amount of cocktails.
Right, it's crazy, or it's frantic. I've done restaurant work.
Right. So here I am, but I'm, like, still trying to get, I'm like, what's this guy? I'm like, and this is the one guy that impressed me out of nowhere when I was 14 years old and said, this is supernatural. You want to see something? Boom. Here it is, right? So I went back up to him, and I was like, Chango. He's like, Chango or Chango? And I was like, Chango. It was Chango, actually. And he's like, you're totally right. He's like, there's all sorts of African diaspora. There's all sorts of, and out of hundreds of deities, I was totally right. So then he asked me to do a presentation there, which was really cool. And then 3 months later, he passed away.
Just wow.
Crazy. Didn't look like anybody that would pass away anytime soon. But
huh.
I felt like maybe he was rounding up some stuff to do, or his spirit was just ready to just bounce, and that was a powerful guy, I tell you what. So if you ever get a chance and you're in Cleveland, go to Delphic Books. It is an incredible place, and they sell some incredible literature and objects and all sorts of stuff.
So
I would recommend.
That's fascinating that you picked the one you had in his head.
Yeah, it's one of those things as a divination expert that it just, you know, you say, well, of course, because that's what I do. But at the same time, it's still, you want to pat yourself on the back at the same time, you know, so you're happy that it happened.
Right. Because not everything is that big of a hit, right? Not everything is like that specific. Mm-hmm. A lot of times it's very, as is the mystical world in general, it's very allegorical.
So
it's about, am I interpreting the symbol properly, right?
It is allegorical. Yeah, you might just see, like, lightning, and then, okay, now who of the diaspora would it be? Because that could also, you know, relate to Oya on some levels, or that. And then are we talking about Cuban Santeria? Are we talking about Candomblé? Are we talking about Palomayambe? I mean, like, you could go, I mean, you can just pick an island and they have their own versions of everything. So it's just, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But it worked out pretty good. And it's just one of the more amazing things. And that was a fantastic, I was doing, you know how I do my introduction to Vedic palmistry. So I did that kind of intro overview seminar. And then and it spawned quite a few clients for me and stuff while I was there. Just right after Katrina, so that was pretty good. So any favorite magically charged objects that you work with, or anything that
I would actually say, and you know what's two things, and actually I'm glad you asked this question.
Sure.
Because one, I don't have right now, and I got to get another one. What I mean was, I didn't magically charge it, but I used it. I don't want to go into those details. It wasn't mine, basically. There's no other way to say it. But I was allowed to use it to simplify.
Okay. Was it a didgeridoo?
No. But
okay.
It might surprise you, but I like rattles. I like things
it
that are like,
some sort of musical
like rattles. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Even like an egg shaker will work, and that's one I had. I had a little egg shaker that I used that I lost, so I lost a sacred object. I don't know
it
what
was
I.
A rattle. Whose rattle was it?
My brother's. Mm-hmm. It was the egg shaker. That's the one I'm talking about. I had it.
Mm.
He told me I could use it. And then, now, you know what I'm talking about? The little.
What is an egg shaker? Exactly.
It's basically a little rattle shaped like an egg. There's no other way to say it. But it rattles just like a rattle. And again, it's plastic, so maybe that wasn't the best idea. But
well,
I like,
now,
in general, because I'm kind of musical anyway, so I'm good with instruments, okay, and I like banging on a rattle or a tambourine. A tambourine is another one I like, actually. I know it's not considered a traditional magical thing, but I like kind of doing that, almost like the hissing of a snake, and sort of cleansing an area when I use a rattle and to accent something. So I like rattles, almost like maracas. Give me a maraca, I'll make it magical. I enjoy that as an audio tool. I like audio tools in general because, again, I'm a musician. So I like, I'll, you know, be like shaking it and be like.
Well, let's talk about that. I think that I have several different spirit callers I use. I use the cowbell. I use a lot of different things. But, you know, that this is why drumming is so huge. It's just tonally
drums,
really.
Drums, same thing. Awesome audio tools I like. Yeah.
Right. So they're extremely powerful, and, you know, the effect that you can get is just mammoth and maximum. The fact that you're talking about a plastic egg shaker, I think that it really connects with your energy, and the minute you pick it up, the plastic might not resonate, like, really, it might not be encrypted into that thing, but what it might do, the minute you pick it up, it's in your system, and it just immediately connects with this powerful undercurrent of tonal vibrational power, and then that spits that up.
And I didn't want to say that I was putting it all on this little egg shaker. I'm saying that's what I had for a while. I've had maracas, I've used a tambourine before. They all have a similar effect. You know, like the beans inside the thing moving around have a similar effect to the tambourine. That snake-like effect, that serpent, like that. To me, when you can shake it really fast and get that sort of S. That, yeah. I know I'm adding a lot of sound effects here.
Can we take a short break?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool. All right, we'll take a short break, everyone, and we'll be back with Spiritual Insight.
Absolutely, and these are our friends that are joining us on our album. Our band name is Dragonhead. These are from a band called Woven Green, and this song is called Sixth Sun. We'll be right back.
forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
All right, we are back with Spiritual Insight with your host, Mr. Darren Boucaire. And Darren is an intuitive consultant, reader, spiritual professional at Marie Lovell's House of Voodoo in the magical city of New Orleans. And we are usually here every 5:30 Eastern time, every Sunday. And I see he's there, and welcome back, Darren.
Hello.
And it's funny, I was walking around and I found the little object I was talking about. And I was saying, I'll give you a brief demonstration. Like, say if I'm cleansing an area, right? Say an altar area. I like a lot of audio in everything I do. So I'll just sort of, you know, I'll do my visualization, you know, I exercise this place, you know, casting out any negativity or impurity to may lie within or whatever things people say. And then, like, I'll circle three times around. And then I'll do the blessing side and then circle three times right, if you get the idea. So I like to back things up with audio. It just gets me into the energy-raising space in general. A lot of chanting, maybe even a little bit of dancing, and hopefully nobody's watching. And then audio stuff. Right. Because music
so
is
that,
like,
I mean, and the fact that you go three times is always important. Mm-hmm. Three, ladies and gentlemen, mystical number, please utilize when doing anything, releasing anything, invoking anything, evoking anything. Three, always a good way to go. The Trinity, the Triad, the everything. Three. Always, or three times three, which is also amazing as well. Please keep
and
that in
sometimes
mind.
When we
that
hit, sometimes here, even on the air, on our Wednesday show, we've done some just very brief honoring of someone, a friend or someone we respected that has passed, and then I usually ring the gong, you know, nine times.
Oh, yeah. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about mystical objects that we can charge tonally. Coconut shells. I use they're sewn together coconut shells, and, you know, they get a little iffy sometimes, so I had to help out a little bit here and there. But and I just fill those up with cowrie shells, and then you have an instant spirit caller. What is a spirit caller, you ask? Well, that's something to call the specific spiritual energy you're working with, whether or not it be Archangel Uriel to kind of hasten the ground beneath your feet, or have it be Grandma Betty, who used to make you those wonderful cupcakes, or what else, you know, whatever works for you. So now, sometimes my stepdaughter, go ahead.
I was saying, what does that object kind of sound like? Does it have kind of a rattly sound, or what does it sound
it
like?
It has a rattly sound. I use, Legua loves coffee beans, so I use coffee beans. I just throw coffee beans in, something like that. I throw coffee beans in a coffee cup from a Starbucks, you know, like a hot cup, and they just put the lid on that, the plastic lid, and you throw some, like, unground coffee beans in there, and you have a spirit call. And it makes the exact sound a really expensive native object would make, except it has some plastic on it. So there's that.
So again, we're back to a sound that's kind of like the rattle thing that I was mentioning, which I do like.
The rattle. It is the rattle thing. Yeah, I mean, you can do it. Now, those paper plate tambourines that the kids make, my stepdaughter made me a couple of those for different deities. Those are perfect. With the macaroni inside, oh, yeah, those are great. Absolutely perfect for ritual, if that's what you're doing.
And now let's maybe discuss a different audio tool for sacred objects, and that's drums, which is, of course, you know, anybody thinks of some sort of raising energy mystical practice, whether it be even high or low magic. One of the things they think of is, I guess, a circle, a fire, and somebody hitting a drum at some point.
Well, I mean, not all magic has drums, obviously, but sometimes there's a lot of chances. It depends on what. Now, a lot of cultures do use drums. You know, the Asians use drums. Polynesian, African, obviously, Caribbean. I mean, it's just, you know, anywhere. And I guess now, yeah, I guess any Native American, really, a lot of cultures use drums. So I guess that even, I guess, is it, okay, let's really think about this. Can we probably find the drum in almost any culture, Native culture?
I would think so. Or they're hitting.
Yeah, that might be. They're maybe not as prevalent in some as others, but yeah, I guess so.
But they might be hitting something. They're hitting an object. They might be hitting some sticks that are particularly whatever.
Right.
Internal.
There's some sort of percussioning happening to some degree. There's some sort of percussive event happening, you know.
And so, I think this is why I wanted to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And why I involve audio in a lot of what I do. And it's, again, I don't criticize anybody, whatever practice works for you, beautiful. But
what
I'm saying is, when I see some of these, whether they be online metaphysical schools or online lessons or online meditation, or whatever, even books, right? Even some of the books, I think they'll tell you sometimes good, sometimes bad magical information, but they sometimes leave out the trance-like state, like getting into it. And to me, it's so much about whatever you're doing. Even if you're just doing an offer of thanks and just feel like you're in a really good mood about whatever deity you like, just getting into that place, like getting into that world, you know.
That's all of it. That is the long and the short of it. When you get there, then it's what you do that's important. And then how you leave and the ifs and ands and whys of how you left and if you did anything stupid on the way out or anything positive, and then but how you get there and getting there is important. And you got to get there. If you're not getting there, then you're probably not really doing the kind of magic that you think you're doing or hoping you're doing. So one of my tricks for getting there, if we're digressing just a bit, is a Lemurian dream crystal. If you don't know what it is, they're amazing. Lemuria being the other sunken continent somewhere in the South Pacific, outside of Atlantis, would be the other continent that we can't find. So this is what they call them. I guess lightning hits sand in Brazil, and then that's how they find these things. They're the most vibrational crystals I've ever run across, and they get me. For me, it works for me. It puts me directly in the immediate spell mode, immediately. In a second.
I've not used them, so I'll look into that.
Well, I'm just letting you know, and the audience, and those out there in wonderful internet radio land, that if you find such a crystal at a lapidary or any place you're shopping, check one out, meditate with it, hold it, sync your energy with it and see how vibrational it is. And it may be able to put you directly into that mode that where you can just link into the divine. It's a spell. And then what you have is kind of a Cliff Notes version into getting in the spell mode immediately. Which is amazing. Which can be bad for if you don't know what you're doing.
Sure. Right.
So please be careful.
It's always
when you get
that. Always
that. Yeah. If you start asking for crazy stuff, the minute you get in there, because you just it was so easy to do, that might not be the best situation either. So be careful. But that I do when I just don't have time to really, do the whole dance that I normally do.
Right,
so
the one that you were like, okay, if I'm really doing it for serious, and I have the time and I have the space, and it's like this is what you do for a little bit of the shortcut, but it works and it gets you there.
Right. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So that, my friends, is a divine object that needs no charging. And then on top of that, if you do charge it, oh my gosh, forget it. That will be one of the most vibrational objects you'll ever. People that don't feel anything from any crystal still feel something from this crystal that I have. You know, it's just plainly the most vibrational thing that I've run across. So I would highly recommend all those that are into crystals or geodes or any of that stuff to check out a Lemurian dream crystal and give it a try and see how it feels. And are they cheap? No, not necessarily. Are they ridiculously expensive? No, they're not. So check it out, definitely. Give it a try. So outside of that, now what can magically charged objects be useful for? Well, just like anything, or if you're into any sort of sci-fi idea, if you just in real life, if you have a magically charged object, they can bolster your strength, your resilience, your constitution, help you ground your chakras, or ground your spirit in your body if it leaves your body. I use blue kyanite all the time to kind of ground myself. Now, I'm talking about crystals, but we can talk about blessed objects as well.
Right.
My aforementioned cowbell, I've cleared many a home of upsetting spirits in the last 4 months with that cowbell. So believe me when I say I don't just throw that cowbell on the couch and park it on top of that. You know, that cowbell's been blessed by a lot of different types of holy waters and Florida waters and ocean waters and all sorts of stuff. And I utilize it to amplify my power when I'm vocalizing the fact that what I'm trying to communicate to spirits that are giving people problems. So that is definitely an object of the divine. And once again, pushing forward what you're saying with, you know, your rattle as well.
Yeah. It's a repetitive, rhythmic thing that's getting you into the trance-like mode necessary for magical work. That's how I view it. Whatever the audio object is, or the sacred object, whether it's just a crystal is. There's something about the connection. In that case, it's the connection with the stone. In the other cases, or chanting, and that's another aspect. Not an object, but that's,
mm-hmm.
I do the same thing. And if I'm in an environment where I feel like, for whatever reason, can't physically do these things, I imagine them. I just close my eyes and pretend that all these sounds are happening. It'll be chants and drums and everything. You know, it'll all be just going on in my head. So you can also visualize it, but feel it. Because to me, magic responds to the emotions, not just the intellect. Like when you're reading a book that gives you an intellectual technique or an intellectual visualization, I think if you don't generate that intensity, then the spell or whatever you're trying to do, something might happen, but you're not going to generate that thing.
You need the intensity. You need to care emotionally. You need to be personally invested, and then it needs to. If it's an intellectual or theoretical exercise, then it will not work. It just won't. So you know, if you're intellectually saying this sounds like a good idea, we should further these pursuits. No, it's not. But if you're like, I really need this to go, like, I need this to come together, and you petition higher energy, I think it's going to come together. I think it is. If you really, you know, well, you gotta, you know, depending on what we're talking about, and depending
right.
on who we're talking about, you know. What's going on in chat, Daniel Michael?
I think it's, you keep it simple and you keep it repetitive.
Uh-huh.
So they can be longer chants, but I think you don't want to make them too highbrow.
No, I mean in chat, in our chat room. So I can't see
oh, that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
In our chat room? Is there anything happening in our chat room?
I thought you said chant.
I know.
No, the chat room's actually a little quiet now, but sometimes it crashes.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I thought you said chant. So I was like, I think, well, keeping it simple, keeping it repetitive and repetitive and repetitive and repetitive. It's not supposed to
right.
be highbrow intellectual music necessarily. It's meant to be repetition, intention.
Oh,
intention.
Yeah, it is. And then I have some wonderful ladies that do some Yoruba mystical CDs and things like that at the Yoruba church where I used to live. And it's a lot of repetition. It is. But that's okay because that's what works. I mean, if you look at the Catholic Church, repetition, repetition, repetition. I mean, that's
Right.
What really?
Christians have magic
raises...
too.
What?
I said Christians have magic too.
It is true. It's true. It really does. I mean, that they're not doing something again and again and again and again and again for hundreds and hundreds of years because there's no point to it. I mean, there's got to be a point at some point. You know, so. And there is a point. So when we're looking at an idea of charging, empowering, and utilizing magical objects, we need to use them for a reason. So when we're finding an object of maybe a malevolent character or we're feeling like it has negative energy attached to it, what would be, Daniel Michael, one of your methods for dealing with that if you wanted to retain the object?
If I wanted to retain it, I would definitely put it through a cleansing and blessing ritual. And it could just be myself doing it. And I would use certain visualization techniques as well as everything else we discussed. I would raise up the trance awareness, and then I would have it. I would do a cleansing, like I said, three times around, and then maybe three times the other way for the blessing. And then I would put my own energy to it, meaning I would blow on it, maybe kiss it, something like that, and say, now this object is sacred and blessed and cleansed and blessed. All old, unnecessary, unwanted, impure or negative energies have been cast away from this object. And there are many different visualizations for those exercises.
And I agree with everything you just said. Except I'd also use salt water and sunlight.
Good point. And I do
that.
Do make holy water.
As long as it's not a water-soluble compound like a selenite or something like that, which will dissolve in water. But yeah, salt water and sunlight do wonders. That's how I usually jump in. And then I do everything you just said sounds about right. Depending on what we're dealing with something really scary, maybe just get rid of it. I mean,
right.
Like, if this is really scary.
Have it gone. But I forgot. Yeah, I actually do, and I do the holy water thing, too. In, like, same thing.
Holy water. Have you ever seen a scary movie that's centered around a malevolent object that people have an inkling that there's a problem with this thing, and they still keep it? Don't do it. There's a reason you don't do it. You know, like, so if you really like this puppet that, like, you know, has come alive and killed a couple people, but just really looks cool, you might not want to keep it in the house just because that's just don't. You know, I mean, it's kind of common sense. Just, I don't know. A movie that just came out not too long ago, Oculus, right? And it's centered around this murderous mirror, and this girl goes through this elaborate to kill the mirror, and the mirror never lets you kill it because it alters your perception and does all this stuff. And the point is, stay away from the mirror. Stay away from it. Don't go near it. Don't have anything to do with the mirror. Don't go hunt the mirror out. Sequester yourself in the house for 2 days and trying to figure out a way to smash the mirror. How is that? I just don't get it. You know what I mean?
And yes, and it is Hollywood. But some people... Because mirrors do have some magical properties to them.
Mirrors are ridiculous.
And I've always wondered about, I'm being a little bit, I've been noticing some more people talking about scrying a little casually, and I'm like, why? And I'm not a member of a traditional high magic organization. I'm just saying, but the summoning of spirits through a mirror is supposed to be, I always thought, something that protective ceremonial act with the proper symbols drawn around it, the triangle and the circle and and then you're in a protective circle, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I've noticed more things like, hey, just grab a black mirror and just start, you know, reading, you know, looking at, you know, ask for so-and-so from the Goetia to show up. And I'm like,
there's summoning spirits, and then there's like just scrying or remote viewing, which, that's not as dangerous as summoning spirits to come and say hi to you through a black mirror. You just can't, just like anything. Oh, I want to go snowboarding. Okay, you don't go down Mount Kilimanjaro to start off. You just don't.
Right.
You know, you go to the Kitty Hill, and then you just, you know.
And I've noticed more people promoting, you know, recently, a few characters promoting. I won't say names on the air, but I'm just like, I don't think you just put a Black Mirror in front of you and just give it a go. I think you're...
Oh, they're promoting it like that's their show, or that's their...
Just, you know, without all the extra protections, I think, is the only thing I had an issue with.
Well, yeah. I would say, for anyone listening, please be aware that anytime you're summoning any sort of spirit for any reason, you want to be connected with the highest level of light protection, the celestial energy, that is my recommendation. Or in touch with your own spiritual protectors. If they're underworld protectors, fine, they protect you, and now you're happy with that, then fine. But my point is this, know who's around you, and know what you're dealing with when you're summoning somebody that you're not sure about, and even if you are sure, still know what's going on.
Right.
That would be my, you know, but just...
Which gets into another aspect.
It's like knocking on someone's door. You never know what you're going to get. Are you probably going to be alive after you knock on their door? Yeah, but could they show up with a shotgun? Hit you in the face with a shotgun? They might. Who knows? You never know.
Yeah, I'm not. There are people far more experienced with things than me, but I'm a fairly experienced occultist at this point. And I would not do certain... I don't summon things I don't understand. In fact, I don't really summon anything. I usually work with a polar deity, you know, god and goddess power.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in working with the forces of nature and all of that. But the protection aspect, that's when it becomes, I think, a little more religious, mystically meaning... You have somebody there with you, helping you, whether that's some people.
I have to say, people get very scared by religion, and I have to say
right.
that if you're going to ask spiritual entities to come to your beck and call, you better bow down and have some humility in the face of some other divinity form that's going to protect you from whoever the hell you're asking to do stuff for you. It's just like rolling up in the hood and rolling up to somebody and say, hey, man. If I give you $500, can you go beat these guys up?
And they don't know you.
So they might beat you up and take your $500.
Right. Good analogy.
What? They might beat you up and take your $500. But at any rate, I want to say please be careful with mystical objects and what they're used for. It's important to be aware of what you're using them for, how they're charged, and where they were charged from, you know, where they came from. But do we have anybody on the line, Daniel Michael?
We did. We have two people, but I think they don't want, they haven't pressed the button that says the host queue. We did have one.
I think it might be a good time. We'll just round it up for the evening and start
sure.
with that. You know, just be, you know, I hate to have a cautionary show, but again, you know, you're dealing with kind of a loaded weapon, so just be careful. That's all. And, you know, used in the right way, it can be used for healing or prosperity and all sorts of beautiful, wonderful things, but it can also be used for other things as well. So just be careful. Treat it with respect and treat yourself with respect. So until next time, thank you for tuning in to Spiritual Insight. Thanks again, Daniel Michael.
Thank you, Darren. And very quickly, how can people get a hold of you if maybe they want a personal...
Oh, yes. If you want to get a hold of me for a private consultation, dbucare@gmail.com, dbucare@gmail.com, or you may get in touch with me at Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo on Bourbon
Street.
All right,
thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Have a great evening.
forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.